This was going to be my last lecture, so I called it some final thoughts on Islam, but after this, I hope to bring a lecture, hopefully one, but it may end up being two, I'm not sure, on Islamic eschatology. How does Islam fit into the end times, or does it? Of course, we have the idea that has been going for years that the Antichrist is going to be from Rome, or the Pope of Rome, and that's been out for years. And my study so far of Islamic eschatology has changed my outlook on the end times. So, anyway, I'd like to bring to you later in the next lecture what place Islam has, or does it have, in our end times. And where are we today as far as eschatology goes? Are we still in the time of the Gentiles, or are we now past that and have gone into the end times? So hopefully some of the things that I bring will be interesting to you, because it really has for me. And I guess it has been a month now since I've started that study that I gave Dr. Downing a stack of books that I've gone through, everything that I could find so far on Islamic eschatology. So bear with me as we look at some notes today. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee this evening, this afternoon, we pray that the things that I bring will be true, that I will give a true account of what these folks believe, and whatever I do, Lord, may it be a place or a thing that would bring honor and glory to Thee. Keep my mouth working, keep my mind working, and may I do these things again that would bring honor and glory to Thee. Help me at this time. Bless our congregation, for we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I actually left what I was going to say at home, but I happen to have my binder with me, so I'm not without a loss. If you remember last week, the last lecture, we talked a little bit about our responsibility towards Muslims and some of the things that we need to do and some of the things we should not do when we talk about Muslims. One of the parts of the lectures that I've given, or the purpose of giving the lectures that I have, is to present Islam to you and what they believe, where it came from, what their teachings are, and to lay all these things before you so that you do not go out the door here ignorant about Muslims and what they are, who they are, and what they believe, and how to approach them. Now, one of the things that I said last time was that they have been giving a false premise on who we are, Christians. Because when they speak of Christians, in their mind, they are looking at Roman Catholicism. Then the other thing that they're looking at is the Crusades. They're looking at what Christianity has done to them, according to their outlook, that we have robbed them of their golden years. Since the fall of Spain under Muslim rule, and then the Battle of Tours, which pushed the Muslims back, and they went from the time of losing Spain and the Crusades, they were brought way back into a smaller empire, if you want to put it that way. And today they're looking for the glory of that empire to be revived. We talk about the Arab Spring. To them, the Arab Spring means conquest again. Bring us back to the golden years. Bring us back to the time when we were glorious. And they say the only way that we can do that is to go back to the time of those great four caliphs, if you want to put that way, what they call the time of the rightly guided ones, the ones that during Muhammad's era, or just after Muhammad, those four caliphs after that are called the rightly divided ones, and they want to bring us back to that time and that era and bring us back unto that law, Sharia law, as it was not today, where it's a combination of our what we call modern law and Islamic law. They want to purify all that. That's what the Wahhabis want to do. That's what you see here in, when you see the ISA, ISIS, when you see that today, the Islamic State of Iraq, and you see the stuff that's going on in the TV. They want to bring back the caliph. They want to bring back those things that they had in the golden age. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring in the end times. And that's what they're up to today when you see all this. They're always going wanting to go back to the original time. Bring back the glory of Islam. Now, one of the false things that are two things that you need to know. When they talk about Jesus, Isa, their Jesus is a different Jesus than we know. Entirely different than what we know. Their Jesus, whom I told you before, they believe was not crucified, but was carried away and taken up, and somebody else died in his place. So they believe he's coming back. They believe he's coming back, and he's going to come first in Damascus, out of one of the mosques there, out of the minaret. And when he comes back, their Jesus comes back, what he's going to do is he's going to destroy the cross, all the emblems of the cross. In other words, he's going to destroy the Christian religion, is what he's supposed to do. And then he's supposed to take away the zakat, which is the money that you have to pay if you live under Islam, the money that you have to pay if you're non-Islamic, if you pay that and put yourself under their rule, you have to pay a tax. So they're going to take away that tax because he has come back to destroy all those that are non-Islam, will not take Islam as a religion. Jesus is supposed to come back, and he's going to be the head of the army, the jihadic army that brings and destroys Christians. When he comes back, he's supposed to say, Muhammad is the true prophet. And when he comes back, he's not eternal when he comes back. He's going to live a lifespan, then he's going to go and he's going to die and be buried by like anybody else. So he is supposed to bring in the one religion by force for the man that's called, we call the Antichrist, the Mahdi. So that's what his job is, their view of Christ. Now our Christ to them, our Jesus to them, is called the Dajjal. It's D-A-J-J-A-L. Now, he, to them, is the Antichrist. And guess what? Their Antichrist, guess who he fixed the picture of? In many ways, our Christ. So the Muslims have been taught that if Jesus Christ comes back again in the flesh, they're to fight him because he's the Antichrist. So you wonder why people would come back and fight against him? Is because to them, our Jesus is the Antichrist. So that's part of their religion. That's part of the things that they're looking at. Now, hopefully that You need to understand that, because that's what they're trying to bring back. They're trying to bring back the Khalifa. They're trying to bring back that rule. And that's what they're trying to do today. They lost their glory to them in the Ottoman Empire in 1924 when Kemal Ataturk put an end to the caliphate. When he put an end to the caliphate, that's what they think. That was when everything was destroyed. When you get to the Muslim Brotherhood, and the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, his belief and teaching was, if you don't get back to the original Muhammad-type law, if you don't get back there, you'll never see the caliphate restored. So his whole thing since 1924 and Islam is to restore that caliphate. So just to let you know, that's what's going on. That's what's in their mind. So when you talk to them, and why they're so hostile against you, is because that's their view, is that you as a Christian are going to be destroyed. Your cross is going to be put down. Your religion is going to be put down. Your churches are going to be mosques. And if you notice throughout history, every time that they take a church, a Christian church, they turn it into a mosque to show that their religion is stronger and better and holier than the Christian religion is. You look at the great mosque in Constantinople. Was it St. Sophia? What is it? It's a mosque now. But it was a Christian church back then. So all these things, every time you see it, all the way in Turkey and all through them, every time that there is a mosque or a Christian church that goes down, it becomes a mosque. That is why that you look under their law that if you became a dhimmi, which means you put yourself, you don't accept their religion, but you still want to be a Christian, you can be that by paying this high tax, but you're not allowed to rebuild your churches. You're not allowed to promote your religion outside of that one church. You can't go out and proselytize. And you owe it to them that if a Muslim comes into your church and wants something, you got to take care of him or face death. That is how they look at things. The right under Islamic law, I've just told you before, the right to lie, to get what you want. You can say whatever you need to protect yourself. All treaties that they make, according to the Quran, no treaty can be more than 10 years in length. And they break all their treaties. A treaty means I have time to get myself ready to take care of you. That's all their treaties mean to them. They have never kept a treaty, and they never intend to keep a treaty. So when they make all these treaties, who was it? Arafat, when he made a treaty with the Israelis, and the Israelis were all happy about that. He made a public statement when he didn't think he was going to get caught. Says, it's like the treaty that we had back in the days of Muhammad when he made a treaty with Mecca to say that, hey, yeah, we'll be at peace with you guys for the next 10 years. But in the middle of it, Muhammad, soon he was strong enough, broke the treaty and conquered Mecca. That's their idea of making a treaty. So when you see all these treaties that they make it for their own benefit. And if it's to their benefit to break it, they'll break it in a heartbeat. Because they cannot make a treaty under the Quran more than 10 years. So watch out when they start making like the treaties with Oslo and these other places. And that's the Treaty of Oslo was the one that was made by Arafat with the Israelis. So watch out for treaties. So all these things, when their religion, they look at us as, again, something to be put down. They want to bring back that golden age. So the Dajjal need to understand some things about that. Let me go back a little bit. How many have seen the ISA on the news? How many have seen the word ISIL instead of ISIS? ISIL means the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. Now, the Levant is an area of the ancient times of Muhammad and after Muhammad, up to the time of, well, I guess it's always been to them. It covers the area of Syria, southern Turkey, all in through there is called the Levant, even up into Israel. So what they're saying is that they are the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, of all that area. And that's why you see them in Syria today. And how many have noticed just recently that Hamas has sent rockets into Israel at their nuclear facilities? Last week. What do you think would happen if these rockets hit the nuclear facilities that they have there? You're talking about thousands upon thousands of people dying. What was his? Abinajed? Who was the president of Iran? He thought, and he said to people that he was the man that would launch all the rockets from Iran. That's why they want to build all these facilities that they can equip themselves to be able to do that. Because he wants to be the one, when he was in office, he wants to be the one to bring in the caliphate. He wants to be the one that brings in the Mahdi, their, what we would call the Antichrist. They call the Mahdi. But look at that. Follow that today if you're looking at the news. Look and see what's going on. Because there's war going on now between ISA and Iran. It is going on between the Sunnis and the Shias. That's been a war going on since the time of Ali, the son-in-law and cousin of Muhammad. So that's a war that's going on, and that's a war that's going to go until one becomes the leader of all of it. So those things you need to take a look at. And basically, that's some of the things I want to set before you and ask. Are there any questions? I know that he was. He died. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know if it's made by the agreement, but you have to understand Hezbollah and Hamas are two different groups. They both hate Israel, but they're not the same people. Could be. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes, he was killed in a military parade.
Oh, yep, Sadat was. He was killed by the Muslim Brotherhood. So, because he was pro-American, he was taking money from the CIA in them. And again, Sadat had no love for the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, he counted it as a group outside the law. Is there any other question? None? Okay. Let me go on a little further. I hope.
Okay. How many caliphates do they want?
Pardon?
How many caliphates do they want?
They want one universal caliphate.
They had three. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now they want one.
Dr. Mellon, would you mind repeating the question so that we get it out?
I will try and do that.
Thank you very much.
You asked how many kalapates?
How many kalapates?
They're looking for one universal kalapate. Now, there may be a lot of emirs underneath that kalapate. So they may have an emir to take one part of the country and an emir to take another part of the country, but they hope to have one universal kalapate, and that's what they want to bring in. Right.
How are they going to determine when that caliphate comes around? Who rules that? Is there a certain, in their hadith, do they have a certain guideline, to, like a lineage from Muhammad? Does it have to be part of his tribe?
Now, the caliphate, that was the big war. The original war between Sunnis and Shia was that the Shia believes that the only rightful successor to the caliphate, or the successor of Muhammad, had to be from Muhammad's direct lineage, or he couldn't be. But what happened with his young wife, Aisha, they held a conference while Muhammad was dying. A group of them did, out of Abu Bakr's family, which is Aisha's father. And they got in a huddle together while Muhammad was basically burying, Ali was burying his father. So they got in this huddle and they selected one among themselves. And that's the big fight, was, hey, you can't have a party to select the successor. It has to be through the family. So that created the war between the two of them. Now, some of them still believe, the Shia still believes, that it has to be a person coming from Muhammad's lineage. He has to be a Quraishi, the tribe of Quraishi. He has to be of the clan of he has to be the tribe of or from the clan of Hashim. Okay, that's where Muhammad came from. Not only the tribe, but the clan. And what is believed by the Shia is that today, that person who becomes their caliphate, their caliph, has to have the name Muhammad ibn Abdullah. In other words, he's from the lineage of Muhammad, and he's from Abdullah, a slave of Allah. Okay? A servant of Allah. So that's got to be his name. But also that he has to come from Fatima, who was Muhammad's daughter, who was married to Ali, and now it had to come through their grandchildren, Hussein, who was Ali was killed at Karbala, and it has to, or Hussein was killed at Karbala, at the war of Karbala, because they were afraid that he would be elected as the new caliphate. So he was murdered by the Sunnis. So it has to be from Hussein's protege. He had to come from that. So it has to come through all that lineage. It has to come directly from the lineage of Muhammad. It has to go through Fatima, has to be from Ali, has to be from Hussein. So my looking at these things is that the only possibility that these things can happen that way is for the Shias to conquer the Sunnis, which the Sunnis are the majority. I mean, that's my just taking a look at those things. Because The only one that wants to set up their regime, or caliphate, in the capital to be Jerusalem, is the Shia. For the Sunni, the capital of them is Mecca. So, something has to happen, I think, from the Shia, for the caliphate to be set up in Jerusalem. For right now, the holy place and the holiest of all places for the Sunni is Mecca. Jerusalem is only a third holy place. So, but again, there's a lot of things that we'll get into next week, but maybe I'm opening the doors. One of the things I would ask you to do, if you take a look at the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, of course, Daniel is the key to Revelation, but look and see what is curious to me is that most people look today as either Russia being the big bad guy or looking at the Roman Catholicism to be the bad guy, but find a direct quote out of the Bible for any of those two. But look how God brings judgment against all the nations that are Islamic. Read the history. God brings it against Ammon. He brings it against Moab. He brings it against Edom. He brings it against all these countries in the end time. And where are they? They're in the Middle East. So take a look at that aspect. I'm not telling you guys to accept it. What I'm saying is take a look at it. One of the curious things that I will say is that one person believes that the reason people have it all wrong is because the book of Daniel says it's been sealed till the time of the end. The interesting thing about that, so it's sealed to the time of the end, or the end of the time of the Gentiles, if you want to put it that way. So when is that? Well, one writer says that happened in 1967 at the Six-Day War. Because at the Six-Day War, it's been the only time in the last 2,000 years, basically, that the Jews have had power over the city of Jerusalem. They have it now. So they say, well, if that's true, and we're in the end times, then that book is now open. And that's what one of the writers said. He said, now you can understand the things of the Revelation. You can understand the things of Daniel, because before then the books have been sealed. And if the books have been sealed until 1967, then all our previous thinking on eschatology may be wrong. But now, since 1967, things are coming to light. Dr. Downing says, you know, sometimes as time goes by, history, prophecy reveals itself. Maybe this is a time when it's happening. Who knows? But I'm looking carefully at the Middle East and the things that are going on, because a lot of things that I believed in old eschatology just don't fit now when I take a look at it, the different things. They didn't fit back then for me. But take a look at these things. So anyway, I would look back and understand these two concepts. You can look them up on the internet because they're there. Look under the word Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I, to find out what that, who the Mahdi is and what they believe about it. And look under the word Dajjal, D-A-J-J-A-L, and see what they have to say about it. Because it's interesting, is because a lot of their eschatology, I find, between the what we believe today, or what's in the scripture, and their eschatology seems to run parallel. And that's odd, because a lot of their end time things fit our end time things. So it's an interesting study. I've bought everything I could find so far. If I find more out there, I'm going to buy more and find out about it. there is a list. I'm updating the bibliography to add a section on Islamic eschatology. And I hope that you will find, if you get a couple of these books, that I'm not asking you to accept it. I'm just asking you to take a look at it. Who knows? But it's been very enlightening. Mainly when I've spent the last, 3 years, almost 4 years, in studying Islam. Doesn't make me an authority. It just means I read a lot of books. The only other problem is my memory's half shot. So, you know, how much am I really retaining of that? But I assume that someday that I'll be able to put these books in a library for other people to use. Any questions? Dr. Downey.
This is maybe a rather strange question. It concerns the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. It concerns Hamas. Mm-hmm. Can you put Hamas as a group of people in a Shiite or Sunni context, or is it something different?
No, Hamas and Hezbollah are two different groups. One of them is Sunni. The other is Shia. Okay, so there's two of those things. And are they mentioned in the book of Daniel or Jeremiah or Ezekiel? Some of the writers say yes, and they show some scriptures there. And I hope to bring some of that next time.
Now, Hamas is the issue right now with Israel. Mm-hmm. Are they Shia then?
I think the Hamas is Shia, and the Hezbollah is Sunni.
Because they're the ones who want Jerusalem.
Then they're the Shia.
Well, what's Al Qaeda and Taliban? Are they two different things, too?
Al Qaeda and the Taliban? How can I say it? Well, you have to understand that our Saddam Hussein, who was Omar, who's the one who was just assassinated? Our special forces took care of him? Osama bin Laden. You have to understand where he came from. He came from Saudi Arabia. So he would be a Sunni. So Al-Qaeda was basically formed from him. That's where Al-Qaeda came from. Was from Obama.
The Taliban is Afghanistan.
And the Taliban is Afghani, yes.
Are they
No, I think they're tied in with they're a school. They came out of a school, which is the school that Osama bin Laden was promoting. So I think that's all together in that aspect. So you're catching me because my memory is not that great.
But I just wondered who was behind it.
Oh, who's behind those groups? Satan. But that's where it originated.
They will combine against Christians and Jews.
Oh, yes. All of them were. All of them hate that. They're all going to be combined. Hamas, Hezbollah, don't like each other, but they'll both go against Israel and against us. So that's what's going on.
Well, their glorious empire back in the golden days only lasted 100 years, and then they split apart.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were splitting apart.
They didn't get along.
A lot of tribes didn't get along after Muhammad died because they didn't want to pay the taxes.
But they got a conquer the world, and they don't get along with each other, right?
That's the way it is, but all of them will go against the Christians and the Jews. That's what they're going to tell the Jews. Hey, your religion is bunk. Christian religion is bunk. Only be one religion under the Khalifa.
See, as the Sunni and the Shiite and all the Muslims, they all follow the Quran and the Hadith. Is there, and obviously there's a difference of interpretation,
oh, yes,
practical application.
Yes.
Is their eschatology all identical?
No.
Do they all follow Isa How does that differ between, say, the Shia and the Sunni?
Oh, that's a whole big... That's a whole big, how can you say that, academic question for them. Because you have a lot of scholars that put it this way, you have a lot of scholars that put it this way, and you have a lot of scholars put it that way. So they're not unified in bringing one, how can you say it, one methodology to bring in the Khalifa or that. They have different methodology. They hated the bombing of the World Trade Center. They said, "Don't, you guys have screwed everything up. We're winning because we are using our laws against us to put the people in place covertly or stealthily to bring in what they want to bring in." That's why they did not like... That's the only reason you hear them say, "Hey, you know, Osama bin Laden and all those guys are crazy." It's because they have their own plan to bring in that. The plan is there. Our government has the plan. They raided what is called the Holy Land... a place where you... collect funds for their society or whatever it is, collect funds to help promote terrorism and other activities. The plan was the U.S. government went in and confiscated their stuff and have the whole plan on who's the bad guys, what they plan to do, and what are we doing about it. Our administration has cuff the hands of those that would do anything about it. That's where we're in today. And then we're willfully blind. Everybody's good at heart. You know, there are all these peaceful guys out there. They're just peaceful in how they bring about their stuff. They're just peaceful enough until they have the might and the power to bring about what they want to bring about. Any other question before we...
Yeah, I got one more question. Where is the heaviest concentration of Muslims in this country? I understand it's in Michigan.
Well, there's a lot of them. They're spread all over. But back in, Chicago and all those kind of areas back there, they're heavy, heavy back there. And remember, the other thing that we're doing is aborting all our kids, our children. And their birth rate is about 3 times of most people. They're going to outnumber us physically in time coming up, because that's their job. I'm sorry, I forgot that some of the questions were so complex I didn't know how to repeat the question. But hopefully we can do that. Brother Downing and I were talking about putting these questions on a piece of paper and then putting them on a CD. Any other question? That's where we stand. Hopefully next time we meet, I'll be able to bring a little bit of eschatology to you, what they believe and what the Bible says, and take a look at these things. They are very interesting. And they have, for me, changed a lot of my concept of eschatology. Lord, we thank you for this time. We hope we've been able to answer the questions and answer them correctly. And may we know who we are. Let us know who the enemy is. And not all Muslims are our enemy. In fact, Islam is an enemy to the Muslim. May we look at them as lost and in need of Christ. May a Muslim pass by us that we might be able to befriend them and present the gospel to them. For they are a dying people in a wicked religion. So Lord, just help us to be wise. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.